Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. This show,
Woo! Whoa, I like that spice from you, Fran.
I feel it's been a long week. I'm ready, like, to get this week done.
You ready to get the weekend going?
Yeah, I am.
Today's my sister's birthday, the day that this will be released.
Yep.
So happy birthday, Nicole.
Happy birthday, Nicole.
We will be celebrating tonight. Francesca will be joining us, and it will be a lot of fun.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
How is everybody doing today?
You know, I'm good. That popped into my mind when you were talking about shows and stuff. I think I got to pick a time to maybe do a little Cobra Kai chat in that chat. Because I just finished the fourth season.
Yeah,
and I got to talk about it.
Get those thoughts out there.
You know? Yeah, exactly. It's a good place to start, to send off some takes.
Yeah, you should. I have not watched the fourth season yet.
Do you watch, though?
Yes.
Okay.
People have submitted trivia questions, and I was like, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I watched Cobra Kai.
Okay. I'm not trying to be like,
You watched first. I remember.
I watched Cobra Kai when it was on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I want that out there. People don't know that Cobra Kai started on YouTube TV.
I didn't know you had continued.
I did.
Through the
Netflix.
But
I have not watched the fourth season.
I highly recommend.
I started Cheer last night. The Jerry stuff is weird. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Morgan is on this episode of Chicks in the Office.
Yes.
Just want to say that, of course, like, Jerry is a big part of this season. It's something that we were told we could not bring up.
Yeah, we were not allowed to ask about that.
Just like for those who are going to listen to the interview and be like, wow, they didn't bring up Jerry one time. It's like, no, we were asked not to.
So. We definitely would have. It was a big part of the show.
Yep.
But we wouldn't. But Morgan was awesome. So sweet.
Very
so
cute.
Fun. Great interview. And I love Cheer. The second season, I think, is really good. I haven't finished it
yet. I'm only one episode in, so I'm very excited. But there's been a lot of, like, Netflix. Clearly, they're coming off the shows that had to take a pause from pandemic stuff, like, they're releasing a lot of stuff right now. We're getting a lot of shows that have taken breaks, like Cobra Kai just came out. Emily in Paris, we're getting season 3 and 4.
Two more
seasons. Yeah, they renewed for two more seasons.
The Society was canceled, but Emily in Paris is getting locked in for two more seasons. Four seasons of Emily in Paris, one season of The Society, which was an awesome show.
It was. And look, this is the thing with Emily in Paris. They do a great job of going 9 episodes where you're like, why am I like... I hate this. I love it. I hate it. Why am I still watching it? And then by episode 10, they leave you on the edge of your seat where you're like, well, fuck. They got to have another season or else how are we going to know what happens?
It just boggles my mind how a show like that gets continued, but The Society gets canceled.
You're right.
When it was left on a cliffhanger. And
major.
All the characters deserve justice on The Society. That's
every
just
time.
How we feel about it. We talk about it every
I'll
time.
I'll never stop talking about
no,
it.
No, we never
every
will.
Every time
It'll
we talk
end.
About Netflix renewing shows. Love is Blind is coming back. Feel like that hasn't been on in a long time.
It hasn't. Not too excited about
season
that one.
Season 2 of Love is Blind.
That show didn't really do it for me. But a lot of exciting things happening. The Coachella lineup was officially announced.
Yeah.
And if you asked me to name three people,
yeah,
literally,
yeah,
I wish somebody asked me this before this lineup came out. If you asked me to name three people that I want to perform at Coachella, Harry Styles, Billie Eilish, and Kanye West.
Yeah.
Like, or Ye, as we must say now.
Yes, Ye.
Unbelievable. And then plus all the other artists on top of that, besides the headliners, this is going to be insane.
It's a phenomenal lineup. Yeah, just locking in. I know we talked about it last week with Ye and Billie Eilish, but adding Harry Styles to the mix is unbelievable.
Oh.
I
have chills. I have chills throughout my entire body.
And not only adding Harry Styles to the mix, but putting him at the beginning. Like, he's Friday night.
Is it, like, supposed to be, like, Fridays, though? Like, is that in order of, like...
Not necessarily. I mean, they're always all very big, but I would say normally the biggest is Sunday night.
Yes.
Oh.
I think the biggest is Sunday.
Like, Friday and Saturday can be kind of, like, interchangeable, but, like, Sunday is normally always the biggest.
Sunday's, like, the...
Like, Beyonce was on Sunday?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, the
Lady
big
Gaga
show.
When it was supposed to be Beyonce was on Sunday.
Yeah. So Sunday's like, this is it.
Yeah.
Which I am just, we're going to be there. Like, it's not confirmed, but we're going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm putting that out there. I will go alone if we don't go for work purposes. Like, I have to experience this. Mm-hmm. Have to. I think it's an awesome lineup. And like I said, not just the three big names.
Yeah.
There's so many other artists
on
there.
A lot of great ones.
It's their first time doing Coachella. They were supposed to do it 2 years ago. And I think it's going to be really cool.
See, if and when, hopefully, we all go as a group, I would think. This is literally my only concern, and I have not voiced this to the two of you yet. I'm just afraid I'm going to have to go see the people that I like by myself.
I said I like Maggie Rogers.
I know, me and Noah are going to go watch Maggie Rogers.
We would never do that to you.
Okay, just because, you know, like, this is the thing. This is the thing.
We got a group of five.
No, it's, but it's, and I know Natalie will do, like, more, like, Natalie will do some of, like, the dance EDM stuff,
for
sure. Well,
I like the dance stuff, too.
Because I just think what they do.
And so does Devin.
What they do a lot of the times is, like, a lot of the good DJs and, like, good rap, like, they do at the same time. Because they don't, like,
I'm
there's not
rap.
A lot of crossover. So it's like, do you guys go to rap, and then I'm by myself?
No, see, here's the thing. I think I could find Noah and I going to, because I could go both ways. Mm-hmm. Like, if the EDM dance stuff was not happening at the same time as 21 Savage was happening,
right.
I would go to the dance stuff because I like that music too. But if 21 Savage is on as
I will. Believe me, I had this problem the first time I went.
You're probably going to find yourself with Natalie.
Yes.
Which would be good, though, because Natalie can film you.
Yeah, that's
and then
true.
Devin would, I
does
think
Devin
she
rap?
Would just, what?
Does Devin like rap?
Devin rap?
I didn't say does.
Devin does like rap, but she also does very much love EDM.
I mean, there's
well.
Some EDM, like Disclosure, like, I wouldn't call
Love
them EDM,
Disclosure.
But like...
Flume as well, I like.
Yeah, it'll be cool. It'll be fun. Hopefully we get there. Hopefully we can document that all for you. But more exciting news.
Major. Big announcement.
This is a big announcement.
Yeah, it's a
this
big
is
announcement.
Pretty fucking cool. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
We will be doing a live show during Super Bowl week in LA on February 10th at 8 p.m. LA time.
Yep.
And tickets will go on sale this Monday, noon Pacific time.
Correct.
And we're really excited.
Super excited about this. Super Bowl week is always super fun. A lot going on. I know there might be a few.
Super fun.
Super fun. Super Bowl. Super week. Just super. There might be. Like, I know there, you know, it's not. What Barstool is doing is not as massive as what we have done in years past, but we are very excited for our show. It's at the El Rey Theater. Like Rhea said, tickets go on sale Monday, and we're pumped. Hope to see you guys there if you're in LA.
Shout out Dat Chat.
Shout out Dat Chat. Yep. And we will, I was going to say, The Dozen is also going to be there in LA for Super Bowl week the night before us, so we can really like get some good content in that week. I'm excited. I'm very excited
as well. Hopefully you guys come see us. We're
it's a
excited
bit of a bigger place.
It's a little bigger than our usual shows.
We're excited.
It's a theater. And we're just pumped because we haven't done a show on the West Coast yet, and it'll be a good test to see what's going on the West Coast
yeah.
for an upcoming West Coast tour that we will talk
what's
more about.
What's up with you, West Coast?
Yeah, what's going on with you guys? We'll talk more about that in the future. But we're really excited, so be prepared for Monday for the tickets to go on sale.
Once again, noon.
Noon Pacific time.
Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
You are planning to go
yeah,
to
I mean,
the
some
Super
people
Bowl.
Are yeah, maybe yeah, going to exactly. traveling to L.A. that yep, weekend. Yep. We're happy to have anybody there, and it'll be a lot of fun. And who knows what kind of guests we'll have. We're making this one special.
Yeah.
This will be really good. So make sure you look out Monday for those tickets, and we want to see all your beautiful faces there. And I think it's time to get into the show. We have a
Let's
lot to talk about. Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox are officially engaged. They announced that with a video on Instagram last night. Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet have announced that they are splitting up. So that's some bad news there.
Up and down.
Up, down, all
up
around.
Up and down.
Jamie Lynn Spears did an interview on Good Morning America where she talked about her relationship with Britney and her new upcoming memoir. Kanye West was up to a lot of shenanigans this past Wednesday night.
Jam-packed.
Just a lot happening with him. And unfortunately, we lost Bob Saget over the weekend. Very tragic. And we'll be talking a little bit about that and also playing an interview with him, our first interview ever, which I think is just a nice throwback and just a good callback on Bob.
Yeah, shows what kind of guy he was being so nice to us. This was 2018?
Probably 18, yeah.
19?
Yeah,
it was. I think it was 18.
It was a few years back.
Yeah, you got to look and find the date, Noah. It was a while back.
We had him on twice.
He was on twice. The first time in the person, second time on Zoom.
Second time on Zoom. And
he was just.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it before that interview plays. And we also have Morgan from Cheer on as well, which we said was really fun. And if you've been watching Cheer on Netflix, you'll enjoy that as well. So let's get into it, starting off with Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox are officially engaged. They announced it on Instagram. They posted a video. Very bizarre engagement. Okay. Okay. That was rude. Great engagement for them. Very happy for them. Congratulations. Beautiful ring. So Megan Fox. I just don't like all the talk about drinking each other's blood.
Yeah. Look, this is what I'm going to say. In the realm of these two, beautiful proposal.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it fit them.
Mm-hmm.
They're in their fits. You know, they're in their black. Everybody's making jokes about MGK's shirt, jacket, whatever the hell it is. But it was nice because it has the sentimental value right there in Puerto Rico. It's back to where they first met. Apparently, they also stood under this same tree when they had first met, and they go back to this same spot. Now, of course, like, it was, like, the video was cut very interestingly. It was like, did they have cameramen with them? Did MGK set up three cameras that were just like on tripods and then like had a little clicker and went to each view?
I think it's a post-production thing.
Post-production?
He went in and edited after.
Like. Yeah. I don't think they had like full-blown cameramen with them.
I think he probably had someone set up the cameras. They
left. Filmed the whole
time.
Right.
They came back, took the SD cards out, like here.
Yeah.
And then went in and made
and
a little edit.
And made it little 1, 2, 1, 2, 3 quick cuts.
It was
cuts.
So perfectly, like it was just so weird.
Yeah,
I don't
quick
know.
Quick cuts.
Quigs.
But it was.
Quigs was very upset about the camera cuts.
The camera cuts.
Holy shit. I've never seen a serious tweet from Quigs. He wrote, holy shit, the camera cuts in this video suck.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that. And Quigs is never tweeting seriously. He was upset about the
cut.
Yeah, it was awkwardly cut.
Was discussed a lot. But look. And also, I will say the blood thing, I almost think that. Like, I think they're serious and that they do weird shit, but I think everybody focuses so much on the blood thing that I think Megan might have thrown that in there as, like, a joke.
You think so?
Not at, like...
I don't think they actually drank each other's blood.
Like, I definitely do.
You think they did?
100%.
I kind of think... I'm on the fence. I think they could have, but I also think she seems like she is self-aware enough because... They're content-wise, they have been a little quieter after the last, you know, big spread when everybody scrutinized every single thing they said, including us. And now it's like she wrote the whole thing and then it was like dot, 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 and then we drank each other's blood. Like, I felt like maybe it could have been like a little joke, maybe?
A joke, but also I think they definitely have drank each other's blood before.
Yes.
Like, I think it's like, aha, But also, we definitely have.
No, I think they have done weird shit with their blood. Definitely.
Yeah. I think prior. They think that that's how they're going to be tied together forever, is like if they inhale each other's blood.
Right.
You ever hear Blood Brothers? Mm. Oh, that did not come
Blood
out.
Brothers?
That did not come out
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Blood Brothers.
Blood Brothers?
Yeah. But I think that's more like, isn't that like you cut your hand and then like shake?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're still like, mixing blood.
No, but you're not. That's like
you
drinking.
Guys wanna
no,
do that
no, drinking.
As a team?
What?
I sure don't.
Yeah. You guys want to cut? Okay, you go first.
No, thanks.
Cut our hands.
Next time
but think about how much blood you need to actually drink.
Next time we have Trent in here.
I don't think drink. I think like a little lick. Like, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
Like a little drop.
I can see, like, you cut your hand and then she, like,
gross.
Looks it, yeah.
Have you ever tasted blood? Like, it tastes weird.
Yeah, it tastes like iron.
That is what it tastes like.
Yeah.
True. I'm going to ask Trent next time he's in here if he'll cut his hand open a little bit Blood Brothers, or just let me. Like a little bit off.
Oh boy. Okay. I'm gonna
not in a weird way. I just want to. I don't actually want to do that. I just want to see Trent's reaction.
Trent's reaction
to me asking that.
The big conversation is also around this ring. MGK posted a very like clear video of the ring and wrote like how he had put into like making that ring the birthstone. Both their birthstones. He's diamond. She's emerald. So they're both together, connected. They're actually like two separate rings. He helped design the ring with Stephen Webster is his name. And he told TMZ that they've been working on that ring for 3 months. It is an 18-karat white gold with a D-color anti-cut diamond and an untreaded Colombian emerald. They're perfectly matched pear-shaped gems. And then he said, we were approached by Coulson to create a very special ring, 3 months, the whole thing, the birthstones combining. And then he said the resulting ring actually consists of two rings, which by the use of magnets buried within the gold are attracted to each other and sit together perfectly on the finger, a detail that is both modern and quite extraordinary.
Well, that sounds beautiful.
It sounds exactly like the kind of thing he would get for Megan. This is the thing, like that is a ring I would expect these two to come up with, that Megan would love, that she would wear. I'm into it. There's been a lot of conversation about the ring. I really like the ring. I know I have shit on pear diamonds, but in this case, it works.
Yeah, I like the ring a lot. I think it's different, but I think it fits them.
Yeah, it does.
And good for them. I think we all saw this coming at some point soon. Now the conversation is, who's going to have a crazier wedding, Machine Gun Kelly or Megan Fox or Travis Barker and Courtney? I think Travis and Courtney are going to have a very classy wedding. I think it's going to be all class, maybe a little rock mixed in.
Kim Kardashian, Pete Davidson at the wedding.
Yeah, oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff right there, Noah. Very classy wedding I envision for them. Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox, I couldn't even guess on what type of wedding those two would have. I can't.
Yeah.
It's going to be different. It's going to be them.
She might wear black.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I will be upset if Kourtney Kardashian walks down in a black dress.
This is also the thing.
But Megan Fox, I understand.
This is also the thing. This is Kourtney's first marriage, right? Yes. She's never been married.
But this is Machine Gun Kelly's first marriage.
But Megan Fox has been married.
Right, but Machine Gun Kelly hasn't.
I know, but Megan Fox isn't going to be like, it's hit, like, that's not how that, like, it's her second wedding. There's a lot, you know, so she's not going to be like, well, I'm going to wear a different dress because it's his first wedding.
True.
I think it'll be, she'll decide that based on her.
You think Brian Austin Green is down bad?
No, he's fine.
He's over it?
I mean, I think he's not fine. Down bad, but in some way you're going to be upset.
Yeah, but I just... But enough time has passed now, you know.
I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, damn. But, you know, I think he's probably not crying himself to sleep.
No,
I'm sure he's very happy.
No, when you realize that this is a real thing. Now, I do... When we first started talking about these two together, were you adamant they were not going to get married in this amount of time?
Something like that.
Something like that.
I can't recall.
I remember discussing this as a group, and one of us was like, "I do not think they'll get married."
I said something about a year.
Yeah, I think it was a year.
It was probably more like who's going to get married first.
But I think it's been over a year because I remember where I was when we were recording this.
They met a year and a half ago, so it hasn't, like, I don't know if they've been fully like full blown out and about dating.
We got to look back, or somebody out there will remember. Somebody listening will remember who said what. I was trying to think of this too. I was like, what did I say?
Right, because she wrote, Megan Fox in the caption said, in July of 2020, we sat under this tree. Yeah, and then she, you know, wrote the whole thing. So July 2020 year, that's just from meeting. So if we call it as it is and they had that immediate connection right away, then yeah, it's been over a year.
Yeah. Anyways, we saw this coming at some point.
Yeah, big time, big time. And I do think Travis and Courtney will get married before them.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think those plans are in motion and yeah, they're going to happen this year.
Yeah. Like probably sooner than we think, I feel like. And with Megan and, I don't know, Megan and MGK, they might take it slow, figure it out, plan it. They could elope. They could do
something.
They could
definitely get married in Vegas or something like that. Yeah,
they could do something wild.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Once a dream of mine. That doesn't seem like it's happening.
But well done, Coulson. I will say, well done. As much as it was kind of a little bit uncomfortable to watch the video in the moment, I'm sure it was beautiful.
The memes
were
so funny.
It was just like not meant for pup. Like, it was not meant for our consumption. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're celebrities. So they're going to post it. It's a whole thing. But like, and it's to scrutinize the whole thing. But everybody's going to take apart, pick apart, like, then she, you know, he kneeled, and then she kneeled.
Oh, I thought that was nice, though. I thought that was nice of her.
I thought that was nice, too. People didn't like that.
I thought it was very nice. Very respectful. Get on his level.
Yeah.
I thought that was sweet.
I thought it was nice.
I just don't like the striped shirts that both Travis Barker and Machine Gun Kelly decided to wear during their proposals.
Right.
They both went with the black and white striped shirt for whatever reason. Either way.
Your size 10.
Like. Yeah. Either way, I think, you know, it was very nice.
Yeah, I agree.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the opposite side of an engagement, Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet have announced that they will be splitting up after 4 years of marriage. This one hurt. This one it hurt did. Because these two I looked at like a couple that were so in love. I could feel it. They seem like soulmates on outside looking in. But it just goes to show you never really know what's truly going on because they're splitting up.
Yeah, this was like back to back with the engagement that we just talked about and this, like same night, hours apart. I'm going to read what their joint statement. They said, "We have all felt the squeeze and changes of these transformational times. A revolution is unfolding and our family is of no exception, feeling and growing from the seismic shifts occurring. And so we share our family news that we are parting ways in marriage. We share this not because we think it's newsworthy, but so that as we go about our lives, we may do so with dignity and honesty. The love between us carries on, evolving in ways it wishes to be known and lived. We free each other to be who we are learning to become, our devotion unwavering to this sacred life and our children, teaching our children what's possible, living the prayer, may love prevail." Star emoji, JNL. It's poetry. It's a beautiful poem.
I actually couldn't understand a single word that they put out about their split, but very nice.
They're splitting up and they're not announcing it for some big attention worthy thing. They're doing it so they can continue living their lives without to pretend like they're still together, and they're going to work together to continue to co-parent their children, and that's about what they said.
They both seem very mature, and they'll probably co-parent. Yeah. Great. Yeah. I don't know
that
at all.
It's not like Lisa Bonet has, you know, she navigates that very well.
Yeah, I was upset about this one.
Same.
But not as upset as when Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan announced that they were split.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. That one, really, people forget how much that shook the world.
Channing Tatum's somewhat involved in this now. He's still dating Zoe Kravitz, right?
Yeah,
as far as we know,
Weird to think about. That is her daughter.
Yeah, so they have
always forget that.
Yeah.
But not really.
They look
exactly
alike.
They do. That's why I get confused with them, even though,
Jason and Lisa have, I believe, they have two kids together. I think they are until 2007, but first daughter was born in 2007 and second was born 2008. Damn. And you know what's sad is like all the, you see it every, it's like, oh, they're ending their 4 year marriage, 5 year marriage, whatever you want to say. They've been together for so long. Like they started dating in 2005.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How old was he? How old is he?
He's 42.
Okay. Damn. So that's.
I mean, he was in his 20s.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a long time.
It was believed that Jason and Lisa had potentially gotten married in 2007, but they actually did not get married until 2017. But they, yeah.
That's wild to be dating that long and then decide in 2017, hey, let's get married.
There's another couple recently that decided, oh, Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell.
I was like,
what?
I was like, why did I see someone else recently be like, longtime girlfriend, they decide to get married? Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, like, maybe you've been together for so long and you're like, you know, we were hesitant to get married. We didn't think we necessarily needed to. But, you know, sometimes your needs change.
Or maybe
as you get older,
maybe
it's a legal thing.
Bad sign. Maybe it's like you're trying to save.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like obviously people grow up, especially in the world that they're living in, things can change so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so who knows what could have happened. And it probably ended amicably, if I had to guess. When you're together that long, you know each other so well that at some point it's probably just like, all right, well, you know, this isn't working anymore. But
you know that Lisa eloped with Lenny Kravitz on her 20th birthday?
Wow. What a queen.
Pretty badass.
Have you guys ever seen Lenny Kravitz's like compound? It's in Brazil.
No.
There's a whole like I forget the name of that, where they do like a tour of someone's
house.
Like
an architectural digest.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's crazy.
I haven't seen that.
Well, I'm gonna have to check that out.
No, he's so cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. I really think, because like I said, all the headlines, it's like ending their four year marriage. But then you're like, wait, they have kids that are like teenagers.
Yeah.
They were 2005.
It's a long time.
Ugh, man, I'm sad. You know what I also don't like? Is how everyone jumps to characters, like their characters that they played as like reasons for breakups. Like people were like, oh, like did Emilia Clarke get in the mix? Like it's like, no, I highly doubt she broke up their marriage.
That first season came out a real long time ago.
I know,
ago.
And like, yeah, they are close, they're friends, but it's
but
like,
that
relax.
Came out so long ago that would have been a problem 10 years ago or whenever Game of Thrones came out. Like, it's been on for... That first season aired so long ago.
When do you think it aired, first season of Game of Thrones?
I'm looking right now.
2011.
That is long.
That's...
Yeah.
11 years ago.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, that was it's been 11 years since he's been on that show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. What?
Is that a spoiler?
What? It's been 11 years since he was on the show.
Yeah.
No, it's been 11 years since the show
started. I mean,
started.
We can't be worrying about Game of Thrones spoilers. Yeah,
can't possibly.
True. Oh my God, my foot is asleep.
Uh-oh, shake it up. Shake it off. Yeah, no, it's this one, shake it off. You need to take a couple steps.
Sometimes my lower back is so bad that sometimes my legs and feet go numb.
And you can't even feel it?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I'm going to keep all this in.
Do you hear that?
I've wanted to feel these pants
not,
all day.
Nice.
Are these comfortable?
Yeah, they're comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that noise.
Oh, I love knuckles
not
cracking.
No, that's not your knuckle. Cool. That's her hip. Yeah,
I know, but like it's all the same to me.
You like the noise of that?
You don't like watch... like
I'll... What just happened?
My leg is...
Oh, I thought you hit your elbow or something.
If I'm scrolling TikTok and see like a chiropractor thing, like I'll stop and watch
it. Oh, no. I don't like that at all. Joe cracks like his entire body in that, and I do not like
it. I do my hips in front of Fran. She gets very freaked out. Yesterday, she told me to sit back down and get away from her.
I can do the shoulder as many times as
I want. No. Don't do that again. I don't like that.
Anyways.
That made a deep pop.
Oh, it was like a
dislocated shoulder pop. Yeah. I did not like that
at all.
That's
a good stuff.
Okay, anyway.
Anyways.
Anyway, I'm very sad about this couple. We don't know single Jason Momoa. Like, we don't know who that man is.
We don't.
You know?
But I think the world's excited for it.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. I did see a lot of I did see a lot of comments on the Chicks in the Office Instagram being like, so too soon to talk about him being
single. Yeah, I was trying to be respectful because I like them as a couple.
Yes, yes.
Wait, haven't you said in the past that you, yeah, okay.
That you'd, you know.
I'm trying to respect them because I like them as a couple.
That's fair. We'll move on.
Jamie Lynn Spears appeared on Good Morning America this past week to talk about her relationship with Britney Spears and also her new memoir that is coming out. She claims that she did not know about the conservatorship when she was 17 because she was too focused on the fact that she was having a baby. And still to this day, she doesn't know too much about the conservatorship, while also claiming how much she cares about her sister, Britney Spears, which would make no sense if you really cared about somebody. Don't you think you would care to learn a little bit about what's happening in their life?
Yeah, the whole thing was very one-sided in the, like, let's feel bad for Jamie Lynn Spears here. Like, let's also acknowledge what she went through. They also kind of, this is the thing, and no offense, like, because I fucking love Zoe 101 and Jamie Lynn. She was like, for us, she was a big star. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, it was not, like, she was not Britney. Like, you know, she was, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, oh, we're the tabloid-ridden family, like, all these things. It's like, no, like, you guys were famous because Britney Spears was Britney Spears. And
some might say, and, you know, of course she was talented, but
yeah.
Some might say Jamie Lynn Spears, would have never gotten that role if it wasn't for Britney Spears.
Right. And honestly, RIP, Zoe 101, much respect forever and ever.
Yeah,
and honestly,
great show. Loved the show.
Sweet Magnolias, phenomenal show. I also
did like that one as well.
I do really like Sweet Magnolias.
You told her that.
I did. I know. It was a great show. It is a great show. It's actually coming back for a second season soon, I think. The interview, though, is just, it's hard because, look, the timing is all very sus, right? Like, now is when you decide you're going to write a memoir. Now is when you decide you're going to talk about all these things. And, of course, there are incidents where things happen. You know, back in 2008, she described Britney's behavior. She said it was, you know, erratic, spiraling, like, are some of the words that she used. And granted, yeah, understood, but then when she was asked, like, how would you describe Britney's, like, state of mind now? She's like, well, I can't speak on, you know, someone's state of mind. It's like, well, you can talk about how she was in 2008 in her book. Like, why don't you just talk about how she is now then? If it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's confusing. There's so much going on that I feel like both of them are dying to say but are not saying on both parts. Like, I think Britney's dying to say stuff that she's not saying. Jamie Lynn's dying to say stuff that she's not saying. But she doubles down. You know, I love my sister. I tried to help her. Like, I did reach out to her legal team. Like, not the new one that got her free, but the old one. And that is the only part where I could potentially see some truth in that. Like, that Jamie Lynn may have reached out to that legal team to see. But because that legal team's best interest was to keep the conservatorship going, that's, you know, they were making money, that I could see them maybe brushing her off. But yeah, like you said at the beginning, to say, like, I didn't really know what it was then is so valid. 17, you're having a baby, understood. You don't really know what's going on with your sister. They were hiding things, like, they were hiding her pregnancy from Britney. Like, there's a lot going on. But to then say, like, I didn't really know a lot about it then, and I still don't now. It's like, what do you mean you still don't now? She's been in this for years, and you never once thought to, like, look at, like, really learn about what this is. And she's like, no, I believe everybody's voice deserves to be heard and all those things. Well, if you believe that, then you don't, then the conservatorship doesn't work. So, I don't know. It's like, you should have learned maybe a little bit more about what was happening.
Yeah, that's why I think she's full of shit, because it's like, if you say how much you care about your sister and what was going on with her, then you would have cared to find out about what was going on with her.
Right.
Now I feel like it's a save face situation. She's trying to have people feel bad for her because now she's painted in a bad light, or not the best light,
yeah,
because the whole family's not painted in the best light, and Britney is not helping that at all, obviously. She's very open now about the way her family has treated her, the way that she feels that they have done her wrong, and which they have. And so I think that this is now a tour for Jamie Lynn to get some sympathy and to win some people back in her life. And I feel like they all got problems.
Sell
they
all some got books. Issues.
Sell some books. Make some money because they're not getting Britney's money anymore.
Like, I hate to say it, but I still want, I like want to read this book.
No, I mean, of course. And the book will come out and yeah. act, like people will
yeah.
write about what's in yeah. the book and we'll find out more from her side of it. But I am more interested in Britney's side of it all because she was the one done wrong in this situation. Mm-hmm. And now Jamie Lynn is going on a tour to make everyone feel bad for her.
Yeah.
And I don't trust Jamie Lynn Spears. I don't trust Jamie Spears. I don't trust Lynn Spears. I don't trust the entire family. And I think that she should probably just, you know, stay quiet at this point.
Yeah,
not, and it's not like shut up and don't talk, woman. It's not like that. No, like, of course, she has a right to like talk. Yeah, it's like, of course, you have a right to talk about what's happening.
Yeah,
it's your family, whatever. But at this point, it's just coming across as insensitive in some ways.
Right.
That you're like, I had no idea what was going on with my sister, and then talk about how much you care and love about and love your sister.
Right. Like, just be honest. Like, you can say I love my sister, but you can also say like I lived in my own world where I.
Yeah,
didn't just, care yeah. enough to really like to
love
be like
my
look,
sister, but it was wasn't paying attention.
Right. Be like, look, it's been going on since she was 17, and I kind of thought everything was fine, and I never thought to look into it because I have like scary parents. Like you know, just Jamie Spears treated Britney like this. You can't imagine he was much better to Jamie Lynn. You know,
yeah,
like that's got to come into play here, where it's like her dad. This. Dad is so controlling. She did talk in the book, you know, about his problems with alcohol and how like that affected their relationship. So it's like you can see how for a long time she was probably looking out for number one, looking out for herself. She's a young mom and she's just kind of like letting whatever is happening with Britney happen and doing her own thing.
And I feel like sometimes in a family when there's a few kids and they have a fucked up mom or dad, there's always one or kid, right, that's like the most apparent that the dad or the mom is being
right.
most brutal to them,
right.
right? And the other kids are aware of it, but they're also being manipulated by the mm-hmm. parents, so they kind of keep their mouth shut. And this could be that situation. Like, do I feel bad for Jamie Lynn Spears in some way? Yes, because she has to deal with this family,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like she had an easy life. You know, she went through a lot.
Yeah.
But she has to be honest with herself in some way and the public to be like, you know what? Should I have cared about my sister a little bit more? Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of saying how much she did care. It's like,
right.
Could I have maybe asked a few more questions? Yes. But I was afraid. I was manipulated.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. And maybe she will be able to say that at some point. Maybe she will be able to say those things and
talk
about it.
Who knows what's still going on behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Maybe her parents are still doing something that we yeah. don't know about. You really never know the truth about what is happening in people's lives. Like, you
yeah.
don't. You get a little bit.
And so that GMA interview, like, also went into Nightline as well. Like, part of it aired on GMA and then part of it aired on Nightline also. I guess in the Nightline portion of it, she also talked about a story between her and Britney this last year, like during or whatever 2020, I guess, probably during COVID, that they were all under that same house and that Britney got in her face at one point. Like, she was like holding her daughter and Jamie Lynn said she cursed at me, so I walked out of the room. She said this is an incident that happened while quarantining amid the coronavirus pandemic. She said, I was like, we're just all family under one roof. I'm not trying to argue. And when I tried to remove myself from the situation, that's when I guess she got really angry. And then she said that Maddie tried to like mediate the situation. She said, I hated that. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're 12. And then she was asked what her parents' reaction was to that situation. And the act. And she said, they told me that I shouldn't be upset. Like, I can't upset Britney. I said, you just saw me and my children be upset. When will I matter? So I think you can sing from the rooftops how much you love your sister. And I'm sure you do because she is your sister. But deep down, there are clearly some deep-rooted resentment, I think. When it
Absolutely.
Comes to having a sister that is that famous and that focused on and where your life is completely changed because of things that your sister does. So
absolutely.
Yeah. It's a lot. The book is called Things I Should Have Said, I believe is what the book is called. It was originally going to be a Britney lyric, I think. So
yes, it was.
So I'm sure we're going to continue to hear more about it. I'm sure Jamie Lynn is going to continue to do interviews and whatnot to promote this book. So we'll be hearing more about it. And it's only a matter of time before Britney talks about it or posts an Instagram about it. Rhea, how many times have you seen like a free trial or try this for X amount of days? And you're like, yeah, I'll sign up for that. And then you forget?
All the time.
Now, that is exactly what True Bill is here to remind you of, because when those free trials, you know, they get renewed sometimes and you don't realize it's you're paying your money for these things and you don't even notice. So Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. That's what happens. You know, what happens to me all the time. It's a great resource to use because, look, there's so many subscription services, whether it's streaming or delivery or beauty, like whatever. You get tons of things sent to your door. Things that you've signed up for that you quite literally forgot you signed up for. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. That's right, folks. All you have to do, that's the hardest part of canceling. Figuring out how to cancel, because they make it so difficult on how to find out how to cancel. So right in Truebill, it lists them all out for you, and you can just run down the list. Cancel, 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 cancel. So, and you also have a Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions, so you don't have to. It's really, really great. Truebill has over 2 million users and helped save them over $100 million. So do not fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/chicks. So go right now, Truebill.com/chicks. That's Truebill.com. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/chicks. Pretty wild night for Kanye West Wednesday. It seemed like, I'm not quite sure of the timeline here, but first, just from what we saw, picture-wise, we're getting pictures of some sort of photo setup, video setup. It really seemed like there was maybe not any actual reason for all these people to be all together besides to be photographed together. Kanye, Julia Fox, Madonna, Floyd Mayweather, Antonio Brown, Evan Ross was there. Pusha T was there, I believe.
It feels like a fake ad lib.
It's just
of how many celebrities Fran can name.
Yeah. It didn't make any sense. I don't think there's any reason why they were all together besides to be seen together.
Yeah. apparently it was a Kanye listening party of some sort.
I don't know.
He has a song maybe potentially coming out today. It could be out already by the time this comes
Although
out.
Although in that video, it was a Drake song playing. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? I just saw the headline saying that. And then on top of that, he allegedly punched somebody in the face, right. Knocked them out.
Well, first, he went to Delilah with Julia Fox.
Went to Delilah, Julia Fox.
They kissed.
Yes, we saw that.
We saw lips touch.
We saw them kissing. And allegedly, he knocked somebody out, and now he's maybe being charged for battery?
Yeah, he was named a suspect on an alleged battery, which happened around 3 a.m. in downtown L.A. TMZ was told the incident occurred near the Soho Warehouse, which apparently is some kind of members-only club. I don't know what that is. And that Kanye allegedly pushed and then punched a male fan. The case is being investigated as a misdemeanor battery. There is video of it. It does kind of look like he was maybe in some kind of setup situation. I'm not quite sure what's happening, but it looked like what they're claiming is the fan had asked for an autograph, maybe.
Yeah, he was an autograph seeker of some sort.
Yeah.
Some sort of fan. And Kanye was in a fit of rage. He was angry about something.
Yeah.
He was yelling at two. This is all alleged, obviously.
Yeah,
TMZ.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
He was yelling at two women who were with him earlier in the night. We're told Kanye had asked this is TMZ. We're told Kanye had asked a small group of people outside the building not to take photos and said something about them not understanding what he's going through right now. When someone replied that it's okay, we all go through family stuff, that's when Ye allegedly unloaded the two punches. So
sorry, something about unloaded. Like,
also just the fact that someone's like, Kanye, we all go through family stuff. Yeah. Like, your family stuff is not even, well, I mean, that doesn't sound right. Obviously, people have their own family issues. It's just not publicized,
right,
like the Kardashians and Kanye's are. So it's yeah. That adds a whole other aspect to family issues when the whole entire world is talking about your family. Of course, yeah, circumstances could be very similar, but you know what I mean.
His cousin was there?
Yeah, apparently his cousin was like, oh, we're family. We're
trying to calm him down. And
he was very second, angry.
Apparently there is a video on TMZ. You can watch it. Because apparently they said that this video was taken like right after he had allegedly punched this guy. Autograph seeker. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to digest. A lot going on. A lot happening from start to finish. There's the whole group photo. There is the Julia Fox date night with them. You know, they're walking out of Delilah together. He's leaving the kiss, but then she goes back into Delilah. I don't know. And then this, and then 3 a.m. It was a long night.
A long night for Kanye. And Kim's getting ice cream with Pete Davidson at Rite Aid.
I just love to see it. On the other side of that, Tuesday night, they're at John and Vinny's enjoying some pasta, having a little date night. They're going to Rite Aid. They're getting ice cream.
It makes me happy for Kim because I feel like it's been so long since she's done normal things like that.
Pete Davidson looks so happy in that picture of them hugging.
They're probably, because she's very funny.
He also I was just gonna very say, funny. I was just going to say the same thing. Like, I feel like they probably crack each other up like more than people would think.
He's probably like, wow, this woman is really funny.
She's funnier than I thought. But yeah, it goes back to, and this is what I was saying to you earlier today, Rhea, when we were talking about it. It's just like life with Kanye is so extravagant, and that's how he, like that's his love language, right? Like big events, big signs of like, big gifts, big things like that. Like, just there's not really like, oh, let's just order ice cream and watch a movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it seemed like, and this is reported, that, you know, when the divorce was happening, that, you know, Kim had kind of missed a little bit of the simpler parts of dating and the simpler parts of having a partner and all those things. That's exactly what we saw from, you know, her and Pete this week, and quite the exact opposite for Kanye. So Sunday night, this happened, we found out about this after we recorded on Sunday. The news broke that Bob Saget had been found dead, that he had passed away in his hotel room in Orlando, that he was on tour, comedy tour, been in Florida, he just performed Saturday night. And, you know, despite the details of what happened, it looked like hopefully a peaceful thing. There was no, right away, police said, like, no foul play, drug use, that kind of thing. And it was shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Genuinely, I think it shocked the entire world. Obviously, you know, recently Betty White passed away, right? And it was like, you know, she's 99 years old. She lived an amazing life. Lived a full life. And then you hear someone like Bob Saget, who's 65 years old, which is still so young. He had just started his comedy tour again. His next stop was going to be West Palm Beach. He's posting about the comedy tour from the night before, that he had such a blast. Yeah. His daughter's posting.
Like, he's falling in love with doing stand-up again.
He can't believe he's 65 doing stand-up again. And it's just tragic because it kind of reminds you, first of all, I think, like I said, everyone was shocked, and just a heartbreaking death in so many ways, because you can tell how many people Bob Saget, he touched so many people's hearts, people who knew him, people who didn't know him. Full House, right? Like, growing up, Full House was my favorite show. It was so many people's favorite show. You watch him as Danny Tanner, you're like, oh, that's like my dad. That's my TV dad. He was America's TV dad. Yeah. And you grow up with that, and then suddenly you discover Bob Saget's Twitter when you're in high school. And you're like, whoa, Bob Saget, a little raunchier than I thought.
Yeah.
Then you start binge-watching Entourage, and you see good old Bob Saget on Entourage throwing those dirty jokes out there, being his dirty self. And it's like he ranged from so many different things and just changed the comedy world in general. And so many comedians and everybody, actors, had so much respect for him. And the way that people talk about him is like, you can tell people really loved him, and he was really special to everybody that he met. And, you know, we had him on our show. twice, and the first time he came in, he was so welcoming to us, so open, treated us like he had known us forever, and it was our first time meeting him. He gave us life advice as if we were his daughters.
He has three daughters. Like that, he acted, it was like he was talking to his daughters, because it was so funny in the moment, because we were like so nervous. We were so excited. This was one of our biggest guests that we had. He was coming into the office, and we're like, what Bob Saget? Or like, are we getting Danny Tanner? Are we getting Entourage Bob Saget? Like, what is this going to be like? Yeah. And it's so funny because he was so kind and caring that he was thinking about us. He's, you know, always thinking about the people he's with. So like, he definitely, the jokes were popping in his head, but he was like, well, you know, I'm with these two ladies. Yeah. I got these two girls. I'm not going to go there. And it's so respectful, because it was funny. Like, he also did KFC radio the same day. And like, John and Kevin were like, Bob, you dirty dog. Yeah. Like, and they're like, oh my God, we got two different versions of
Danny Tanner.
But that just shows how much he gave to other people, right? Like, he, based off the relationships he had and the vibes he was getting, like, he could make anybody laugh in their own, in their own way. And it was just like, it was so cool having him around, and having him around Barstool, because it did really seem like he loved being here.
Right. And just the way that he treated everybody he's ever met like family.
Yeah.
And just like, we watched some clips back from the first time we met him, like we mentioned, and he was, you know, keeping it cool, keeping it calm. And we were like, you could say fuck here, Bob. Like,
you can
let it fly. And he was keeping it chill. Then the second time we had him on, it was like, he really opened up. He was a little more Entourage Bob. I mean, Noah played a clip before where he remembered Noah immediately, right? When he popped back on Zoom, he was talking to me about my TikToks. I'm like, this is Bob Saget we're talking about, is paying attention to us. He just cared so much about other people, and you could really feel that. And it's like, somebody that big, right? Bob Saget, so famous, so legendary, everybody knows who he is, but he never treated anybody small or like less than him. He treated everybody the same. And, you know, obviously we didn't know him that well, but just being able to be in his presence the couple of times that we did, you can really feel that. So I feel like the whole world was really rocked by this. It was heartbreaking in every single way. And somebody had a tweet that was like, every time we lose a comedian, it's like a little less light in this world. It's like, you just look back on so many comedians have changed the industry in some way, and I think Bob Saget is definitely one of those people.
And you can tell just from even how many comedians who have been friends with him or not even friends with him who spoke out and talked about him. I mean, Pete Davidson does not have social media, but he used his friend's Instagram to put out a statement and say, like, in some of my darkest times, like, Bob made sure to reach out to me and check on me and see if I'm okay, and gave me resources to help take care of myself. Like, that just goes to show the amazing guy he was. And John Mayer and Jeff Ross, they were on Instagram. They were talking about him. They were driving to pick up Bob's car at LAX. And they were just talking about his life and talking about how, like, no matter what, he would always tell you how much he loved you, and it would just go back and forth, and just a love fest. And like, whether you needed the littlest thing or the biggest thing, he was always there and always willing to help. And one of the best, it is such a good clip of when the second time he came on the show, and it was quarantine, so we were all in our own homes, and he was in the Zoom early, and me and Rhea weren't there yet. It was just Noah. And it's just the clip, like, the actual clip is so funny, because he's, like, looking down, and then he looks up, and he sees Noah, and he just goes, hey.
Yeah, and then we ended up talking about John Mayer. He was just, like, talking to me as if, like, oh, as a friend. Like,
yeah,
he's like, oh, did you see him play that song? Like, I'm like,
that's just how he clearly treated everyone, and it was one of those, it's just one of those celebrity deaths that, like, knocks the wind out of you, that really just really sucks. And you just, his family, his daughters, his wife,
it's just so shocking. And also, as cheesy as this may sound, but it's really not cheesy, because I think it's an important lesson that everybody should take with them, is that like, you really just never know. You just don't. Nobody expected that. His family didn't expect that. And it's like, just treat the people in your life the way that you want them to remember the way you treated them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Tell people you love them. Don't forget to do that. Because his daughter released the last text messages that they had.
Yeah.
And he wrote something about a show and he was like, love you. And just to,
yeah,
just
for like, love
her,
you, miss right, you, love you, Showtime.
And just for her to have that last text of him saying love you,
thanks, love you
is
Showtime.
Probably
yeah.
so big for her.
Yeah.
Because you just really never know.
Yeah.
And so I think that is an important lesson for everybody out there. And also just, like we said, incredibly heartbreaking. But, you know, just to look back on the nice stuff that he did.
He was the best. And so I know if you're new to the show or you've been listening from the beginning, you've probably heard these interviews. If you haven't, we are going to play some of our favorite parts from the first time we sat down with Bob, because it just, what better way to honor him than to have everyone just hear him be so great to us again. He really was the best.
Go back in.
Yeah,
Fran
and Rhea.
Come back in.
No,
welcome
hi.
Back, Bob.
Yeah. Rhea, nice
I saw you at the
you.
Elevator.
Yep.
Yeah. Bob,
Francesca.
Nice to see
hello.
You. Pleasure. This is nicer. It'll be more tranquil, more
yeah.
normal.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we'll see.
Here's another one.
Whatever you guys do, I follow.
Okay, we'll see what
cool.
happens.
Let me make sure this is off. How long is this? Oh, let me tell my friend. Well, go online and get one. And then tell me what it is. You gotta tell all your friends what to do. You don't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
Get a freaking flyer number. How? So they do this like the other ones. It's all round robin. They just throw everybody in here. And so you did Henry Winkler the other day also?
We did not.
No.
They did
it
Henry Winkler.
Yes.
That was rude.
Yeah.
On the Henry Winkler train. He's a different guy.
I'm a different guy.
Yes. Yeah, it's our producer, yeah. Noah.
Nice to meet you.
I tried to shake your hand when you walked in, but you like walked right by me, and I was like, it's fine.
I'm not like that at all.
No, that's fine. Can you just give me a mic check?
Check.
Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2.
Mic check, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Okay,
good.
Whenever all you guys right. ready.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, and we are joined by legend Bob Saget.
Thank you very much. I'm a chick in the office.
Yes, you are. Welcome.
You are.
I'm happy to be here.
We're very excited to have you. You just finished KFC. You did Answer the Internet. Did you have any idea what Answer the Internet was going to be?
No. I've done stuff like that before. They do that for you when you're going promoting something, so that's like a new thing where they always give you questions, or you play a game.
Right.
Let's play a game. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, it's 9 a.m.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like playing games right now.
Right.
But, Bob, I have to say, you are not the Danny Tanner that I thought you were.
Like, but I'm both. I am like
both.
That also.
Yes.
I have a dustbuster. I use it if something's broken.
Yep.
And I like clean stuff around me so that I can then go wacko. You know, I like everything done when I do a show. I'm doing stand-up. I want to make sure everything's working perfectly so I can just go crazy and not think about it.
Oh, so there's a little piece of Danny.
There's actually a big piece of Danny.
Yeah.
But I'm not the two-dimensional character that you guys watched growing up.
Yeah.
That's a sitcom.
Yep.
And that had a lot of love in it. And that's why people responded well to it. And the cast cared about each other or faked it really well on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still faking it. Yeah.
Yeah. One more year.
Yeah.
Or actually, I think it's a two. I don't know how they're airing it, but it'll be in.
I know that season. We'll start season 5. Netflix has fall 2019 on.
That's
on
what they
the
got
screen.
Going there. So they're doing
yes.
it right.
Yeah. I'm a big Fuller House fan.
Big
I've watched
Fuller
every
House.
Episode
wow.
of Fuller House.
Every episode.
So you like, wow.
I love
Fuller House.
I haven't. I've missed. Well, I didn't watch the old. I can't watch myself, so it's hard.
You don't even watch the episodes you're not in?
I do more of those than I do of, because I want to see how much dancing is going on.
Mm. Yeah.
Then Stamos and I go, why is there so much dancing? We don't need Glee.
But you didn't watch yourself on Full House?
No. I just directed this movie. I had a hard time watching myself because I was in it, you know. And so I'm really kind of, I just have trouble watching it. It's just one of those things. I mean, do you guys listen to yourselves?
Never.
No, yeah, it's true.
Same kind of thing.
Right. It's so hard to do. But we don't. Thankfully, we have Noah, we have a producer that listens to make sure everything is okay. But you directed this movie that's Benjamin.
Benjamin, yes.
And it's available next week?
April 23rd.
Okay.
And I'm pretty excited about it because it took a long time to get made, and it was an independent movie that meant a lot to me about a serious topic. We think my kid, played by Max Burkholder from Parenthood,
mm-hmm.
he played the autistic young man.
Yeah.
And he's such a good actor. We think he's on meth. Which got us in our rating because I didn't curse. Nobody cursed in the movie. It was some weird unusual language, like you pernicious skirt chaser. Yeah. But it's a cast of, it's an independent movie, and we made it because I was passionate about it, and I had Joshua Turek wrote it, and Nicholas Tabarrok produced it, and we hired a bunch of people that were kind enough to say yes to me. And I was watching some B-roll footage of the actors saying how I got them to do it. And Kevin Pollak, who's really talented, and he's on Mrs. Maisel right now, and I just love him. I've known him for 30 years. He said that I have videotapes on all of them. That's why that's why they had to do it. But it's based on my girlfriend. So I'm directing it and in it, and I'm playing a guy it's Danny Tanner off the rails, so you'll find it a little familiar. I did one episode of Full House where I was on coffee, so I talked real fast.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah. This is like that guy. Yeah. So my girlfriend is played by Mary Lynn Reiskub, who's very funny, and she takes out a post on Facebook to call an intervention on my son. It's a dark comedy, so it's a serious, serious issue, and I wanted to do it in a way that was palatable and not your typical... you know, this is going to be a PSA for what we've been seeing. I've been seeing some great versions of this movie that are serious. And maybe in some ways, for many people, that's the best way to serve it up. But I think for millennials and trilennials and triathlons. And then we needed a person to lead the intervention. So Rob Corddry, who's very funny, he's on Ballers and Hot Tub Time Machine. I can watch that every day because something's wrong with me. But he's the family gynecologist who leads the intervention. And that's not who you choose to lead
an
intervention.
Yeah.
And then... we've got a lot of good people at Sherry O'Terry and Dave Foley and as I said, Kevin Pollak and let's see who else. Clara Mammoth's in it. And
you're the director. You better not leave anybody out.
Yeah.
People are going to be pissed when James Preston Rogers. Now you're giving me pressure.
Yeah,
Johnny Weston, David Hull. Yeah. I'm adding people. Yeah. Lyric Bent.
Yeah,
people
start speaking
mentioned.
Really fast.
Right. Just say it all quick.
Yeah.
I actually did an interview where I said, I would like to mention the cast. Here's every single one of them. And it took like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
It's only like a 12-person ensemble, but they really helped me. And they made difficult conditions palatable.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it. And it comes out in a way that is the first time this service has ever done this. And that's how all the biggies started. That's how, and they are a biggie anyway. They have, it's Redbox.
Yeah.
And then it's 41,000 kiosks, but that's not where I went. You know, you can, you can
get it
from there.
The kiosk.
You can and not return it. And then they make a ton of money
because
they charge it per day. Or you can now, it's the very first original VOD for Redbox, which is how everybody started, including, you know, the two-click Amazon. And all my movies are on Amazon, so you can buy. I won't say it; it's a dirty joke. But No, I can't. It's too painful. You can watch my movies or my specials and get the lotion at the same time.
Yeah.
That's how pleasurable they are. But sorry, I said that. I feel bad now.
What?
No, I do. It's a different world we're in. You're young ladies. I can't talk like that. I was with my daughters last night. They were going, "Dad, stop it."
We're giving you free reign.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a free range comedian. Yeah. I'm healthier when they slaughter me. I'm more edible.
Yep.
They drain me.
Nice poultry.
I'm perfect poultry. Mm-hmm. I'm cage free. But you can download it. You can watch it streaming on the and that's 50 million subscribers that have Redbox. So it's big. So this is the best, I think, for this particular movie because it's a dark comedy that it could have possibly. Best light it could have been shown in, where it got its own place in the sun with a company who has never done this before, and they fell in love with the movie. And so if somebody falls in love with something, you can either date it or go on to the next suitor, because you say suitor if you're in Game of Thrones. And
you a Game of Thrones fan?
Yeah, I'm a giant Game of Thrones fan.
Us too.
I'm actually, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Calm me down.
Are you sweating now?
I am. I'm having changing life. I'm going through menopause. I had never seen it before because one night I turned it on and I saw a guy's head got squashed.
Yep.
And I went, I can't watch that.
Mm-hmm.
So I put on the news. That calmed me down.
Yeah.
And then I got married 5 months ago, but before we got married, we decided to have a marathon. Did you ever see the Portlandia where Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein are watching Battlestar Galactica?
Yes.
This is what we did. We spent 2 weeks. I watched 7 years of Game of Thrones in 2 weeks.
I did the same thing.
It's the best.
2 weeks ago.
You did it?
Yeah, I did it.
Am I wrong, or is it? It becomes a religion. It becomes this weird thing. And I met the guys, and I fawned all over them. I was drooling over David and DB.
Yeah.
And I just went crazy. And they invited me to the premiere of the third episode in L.A. on the 28th. So I'll be going to that at the Grauman's Chinese.
Holy shit.
And they were like, they were worshiping me. And they're like, oh, you and the aristocrats. And I can't believe you free-formed like that. And I said, yeah, we can't do that anymore. And they said, well, we do things on Game of Thrones you can't do anymore. Yeah, but that was, you know, in another realm that's a billion years ago or whatever. Or, I don't know, 100,000 years ago, but whatever. It's not really, it's kind of, could be the future. We don't know what
I think we have absolutely no clue.
Only Bran knows. Only Bran knows. Do you have one theory that you're sticking on to?
I don't think the Black Dragon's going to make it.
Okay.
The greatest thing would be is if that evil dragon turned out to be a good dragon, if we could get that dragon
bring him back.
But I don't think that's that show.
No,
and I
the
think
Night
you
Kings,
watched
you
it
are.
When they brought everybody on the first episode and you're going, I don't think they're going to make it. Yeah. I don't think they're going to make it. Yep. And I don't want them to die. You really fall in love with the characters. Yeah.
I don't think I'll be able to handle watching Daenerys die or Sansa. Any of them actually die.
No.
Jon Snow we've seen die before. But.
Right, but I don't want him to die.
No,
die
not
again?
Officially.
But I think Kalia, what's her name? The Princess of the Dragons?
Daenerys.
Oh, yes. I got them all down.
Khaleesi is
I need to do, yeah, they should color code it for me. I really don't know what's going on. But Khaleesi is, I don't know. I don't want to guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she can, because I don't want to spoiler alert anybody that hasn't seen the first episode.
Right. It's okay. We've already done it.
Oh, you've done it already?
Yeah, just go for it.
But since they are related... I mean, but nobody seems to care on that show.
Nobody cares if they're related. Honestly,
they don't care. We don't care.
Well,
it's
obviously
don't
everything's
care
built on incest, which is beautiful.
Yeah,
no, the Targaryens—they're supposed to mate with each other.
Exactly.
That's the whole
Targaryen
thing.
Is a spice, I believe.
Yeah,
sounds like it.
It does.
But I want to talk about Full House for a little bit because that's what we grew up on, watching the repeats of it and everything,
and then, never went away. Stamos said to me, "It will never go away."
I don't think it ever will.
Well, the reason I have different theories on it. One is it was meant for 14-year-old girls. And so when a 50-year-old dude would criticize it, I'm like, guy, get your daughter niece or somebody you know to do it. And it was based on, loss of a parent. It was based on Three Men and a Baby is what it's based on. And then they chose it to be like Happy Days. I was, Ron Howard's character. I was Richie Cunningham. Stamos was Fonzie. And Dave was either Ralph, Mouth, or Potsy, but you don't even know what I'm talking about because you didn't watch Happy Days.
I know Fonzie. I know that.
Well,
that you got
Henry
me with
Winkler,
the
Fonz. Right.
Yeah.
So this is, it was kind of, and it was the same producers, and they followed a formula, and it was kind of had a little Bosom Buddies feel to it at the front, which was Tom Hanks. I'm mentioning more shows you wouldn't know, but it's okay. But the key to it was that it was about teaching morality lessons and how to raise your kids, and then, but they did it through the kids' eyes. So, you're seeing Ashley and Mary Kate at 3 years old, and you're about to go to commercial, and you hear a synthesizer string play on a keyboard, and she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. And then the whole commercial, your kids are going, what's going to happen to Michelle? Yeah. I'm so worried. But they would do every character, which is so great. They literally would do, every character had a show. Each one of us got to have one that, I took off my wedding ring when I accepted the death of my wife and put it on the thing. And then you went to commercial, and when you come back and it's like, Danny, why so down, but it was based on situations that happened. And the newer one has become more of a fantasy. I think it's kind of probably grown with where we're at because people want an escape and kids want an escape. And then I'm doing the video show again also, which is a bluer version of the old one.
Right.
Which also was a little, Full House was a little girl show back in the day.
Yeah.
And the video show I did was the little boy show. That was like, can we watch the show where people fall down, mommy? Yes, they'll get hit in the crotch, but yes. And the new one I'm doing will be on either on the fall or in the summer. We're not sure yet, but we've got more we're actually working on right now and finishing because that was just a sneak peek that we did of it that came on after The Bachelor. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Do you watch The Bachelor?
Well, I had to this year because Colton and I had bonded over a conference.
I saw a lot of pictures of you and Colton.
Yeah, we were together doing the thing, but I didn't know he'd already jumped the fence. That's what I didn't know. And that's what I think disappointed some fans.
Yeah,
that he kind of he screwed the pooch in a clean way. Oh no, that's not a clean way because he had lost his virginity. Whoops! But
no, he didn't confirm that.
He didn't.
No,
he won't tell us.
He won't tell us unless maybe you can find out.
Well, when did you talk to him?
Well, we haven't
talked
to him, but
when he talked to us,
I was on Kimmel. the night that he was about to go do it.
Okay.
And it was pretty clear.
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it? I'm asking my friend Michael.
He's like, Michael, I don't know what
Michael
you're
doesn't
about.
Know. I think he made it. I think they made it clear on the air, if I'm correct, because I watched it as it led
yeah, they,
into
it. Yeah, they hinted to it. They were just like
dance around.
Yeah,
it.
They were like.
He was strutting around like yeah. he was pretty happy about yeah. it. And I still follow him on Instagram, which is kind of scary. Yeah. Oh, I hope they're having fun at the ball game.
Yeah, but if you want to follow him now, he's going to be pissed. He's going to be like, Bob Saget, unfollow
yeah,
me.
Right.
I,
oh, like
I would never do
that.
Claim.
You can't
do that. Are you kidding? He's a young man. He'll
yeah.
be hurt.
Yeah, totally.
I
he'll be very
raised
hurt.
Him.
Yeah.
Be like, Bob Saget, unfollow me?
Yeah, that would sting the most, I think.
I don't unfollow. Did you say Stamos?
No, I was saying sting the most. Yeah, speaking of Stamos,
yes.
You guys became great friends, obviously. You stayed friends. What was it like when you guys first met each other on Full House?
We weren't the best of friends, but that was because I was jealous. I was
going to ask that.
I got divorced from my first wife 23 years ago, and at that time, I was... I was just a different person, completely different person. And he was just, dating all kinds of models and stuff and famous people. And I was a Jewish comedian who was neurotic. and I was not jealous or anything, but we just came from two different places.
Yeah.
And then things changed. And after a couple of years, we realized this is not... people started getting sick. I lost a sister. He had a sister almost lose her life. Dave Coulier lost a sister. Dave and I knew each other for 8 years before Full House started. Mm-hmm. We were comedians in crime together and met in Detroit. And when we were young, I was like 21, 22. Dave was like 18 or 19 yeah. or something. And then Stamos and I became inseparable.
Yeah.
I mean, we would go everywhere together. I was like, what are you guys always together? Why are you together?
Yeah.
And I'm even doing a benefit April 25th in L.A. for scleroderma because that's the sister that I lost. To this horrible disease. And over a 30-year period, we have raised $48 million in research. And it's all been, it's called Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine. And if I can I give the website?
Yeah.
It's srfcure.org. And we help people with this disease, which affects mainly women in their childbearing years. And so John is doing the auction with me on the 25th. And so no one will be looking at me during the whole time. But I'm hopefully he'll have the big beard and look all scruffy, so they'll have to go to me because I'll move around a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to be funny
Make
and irreverent.
Noticeable.
Exactly. And we got Ken John and Ray Romano and another very well-known comedian that I cannot announce.
Ooh, secret.
Love but you and John also were on my favorite show of all time, Entourage.
Yeah.
Favorite
that,
show
that
of all time.
He played ping pong with nobody's business because CGI is a miracle.
So it was fake.
Some of it was not. He got really, really good. He got trained, and then they did a couple things that are impossible. Maybe not for a person that does it like Olympic level, but he was really good. I mean, he can be athletic when he wants to be.
Yeah.
And I was on it like five times.
Yeah.
And I did things in it that were not very,
Do you think your
pure of heart?
Do you think your daughters would rather watch Danny Tanner or Bob Saget Entourage? Bob Saget.
They're both extremes.
Yeah, I love Bob Saget Entourage.
Well, that's very sweet. Thank you. I had a girlfriend once, and no longer, and because I'm married, no, that would be a mistake.
Yeah,
but she was my girlfriend for a time. But I said, I'm nothing like. She says, you're acting just like you are on your Entourage character. And I said, no, I'm not. And I was in a black robe, unshaven, smoking a cigar. And I was like, I looked exactly like my Entourage character.
Shoot.
But they wrote that to be me. And at that time, you couldn't, when you played yourself on a show, you weren't like nominatable for anything. And so it was like, but one of the shows I thought I had done a good job on, I went, hey, let's submit that for, the Emmy thing. Because, you want to be in a popularity contest if you're allowed.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you play yourself. You can't do it if you play yourself. But then the next year, Michael J. Fox played himself. And I think it was in Curb. And all bets were out the window because you don't say no to Michael J. Fox. So, and I was playing a diabolical jerk. So, and he was Michael J. Fox, a saint. So I think he deserved it. So I was not taken advantage of.
What was it like working?
Although I brought it up.
you're rehashing it now.
Yeah, it's not good.
What was it like working with that cast? Were they like crazy off scene or was it only on camera?
Oh, those guys, partying? I'm still friends with all them.
Oh,
I'm like
really?
A family dog. They'll be at the benefit also, and so will the Fuller House cast. a lot of the people from Fuller House
That's
will be at my benefit because I have good friends. Yeah. So Doug Allen and Kevin Connolly will be there. And,
what about John Mayer?
John cannot come. He's on tour around the world. But he did something, and I put it on my Twitter. He was in Singapore, and there's a song that he did on one of his albums that I just loved. And it's the album where, God, I don't know the name. I'm so dumb. But he's out, and he's wearing a cowboy hat. And
Noah
he's,
probably knows it.
You know it?
He's cowboy
hat. I guess I just feel like.
Or no? No, this is an older song.
An older song?
Older song. He's like in the West. He's like he's out of the frontier because he lives in Montana sometimes. And the song is called Badge and Gun. And it's like a traditional Western song, but it's like a ballad. It's like a Woody Guthrie type song. And I just love it. So then someone in the audience, he says, hey, somebody videotape this because Bob Saget says this is his favorite. And they cheered. A few people cheered when he said Bob Saget. It must have been his group that I know.
Yeah.
It must have been. But they understood English perfectly, which means that we're a pretty ignorant culture. We don't know anything. Yeah. I speak English.
Well, Bob Saget, they probably just heard those two words.
That was it. Yeah. It's phonetically. Yep. Yep. That's what it is.
How did you become friends with John Mayer, such good friends with him?
I asked him to do my scleroderma benefit like 13 years ago. And then my dad had just passed away or was passing away. No, he just passed away. No, it was just, that doesn't matter. He's living or dead. And Mayer went out and did stand-up with me. It was the first time he ever did stand-up. So I took him to the Laugh Factory, and I needed to do stand-up because that's my venting.
Yeah.
That's my therapy when I don't have time to go to therapy. And we went to this club, the Laugh Factory, and he got on stage and did stuff about animals and people uniting. And
we're picking it up.
Yeah.
And I said, you got to be careful with this stuff. You know, he's hilarious, and he's such a good guy. He's such a good friend.
Yeah, we're big fans of him here.
Oh, he's, yeah,
we
I would think
his,
so.
Every
I
watch single his, one I watch, of his live.
Do you watch his
live,
current
his
moods?
Yeah, I watch current moods.
I've been on that.
Week. Yep. Yes,
and he had a fake Vanity Fair party where he just had the three letters. I was there.
Yeah. How was that?
It was insane. It was so stupid. Right. And he did it, and it looked like it was the Vanity Fair party. And he said, hey, I am at the, and then after about 7 minutes, he just said, oh, we're not there, and pull back. But he has Instagram come to his house, five cameras and a whole crew.
Yeah. It was funny because so many pictures from his live came up like on red carpet photos of the Vanity Fair party, and people were like, is that John Mayer's party or the actual party?
It was really
you couldn't tell, and it was done so well.
And it was fun. And we had I don't give sponsorships, but we had a famous burger company support it.
Shake Shack, I heard
that's
that.
What, I'm glad you said it.
Yeah.
I can't
I had
promote
to say it. We had to
I'd never had it before,
it.
But at the Vanity Fair party, yeah, I did. I did. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Who knew we would get excited about things like Shake Shack?
Right, at your fake party.
Yeah, right?
Really?
Totally
fun.
L.A.
Yep.
That's
what's
so great about him. He's grown up a lot. I mean, and so have I, believe it or not. And he's just one of my dearest friends. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. And he was at your wedding.
He was not only at my wedding, and so was Stamos. And I kind of messed up with Stamos because he was going to give a speech, but then Mayer jumped the shark, and I didn't know what to do.
I hate when that happens.
And it was like, and John was like a little bit hurt, so I'm making it up to him big time.
What are you
I'm
doing?
I'm doing all kinds of stuff. We just did a thing. My wife did a thing for Extra where she's did a hosting thing, and he and his wife, Caitlin, and I went out to lunch and promoted this restaurant. Not really promoted the restaurant, but just did a segment on our friendship and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the benefit, that you know, on the 25th, I'm going to just slobber all over him.
Yeah.
He's going to get so much love. He's not going to be, and Mayer's not there. It's all safe.
Yes.
But there's no, I mean, I'm talking about a 30-year relationship compared to a 13-year relationship, but you're allowed to have other friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think the three of us need to go to dinner and just get this thing straightened out because it's a serious boy band drama.
Right. John Stamos.
John's my friend.
John Mayer and Bob Saget out to dinner.
In the middle. No one's
going to
look at me.
Yeah. But can you invite us?
I know you guys are. I know what's going on. I get it.
No.
There's hormones in the room when I mention them. But Mayer, what he did at the wedding was, and Michael was there, my friend, and he's here now. What happened at the wedding was he sits down, and I've had a lot of loss in my life. So I wrote a book about it called Dirty Daddy, and it was a comedy book, but it also had I lost two sisters, I lost my parents, we lost a lot of family, always, my whole childhood. And I had a lot of unfortunate relationships and a couple of good ones, but you know, that it's hard when you have them, and they're, you know, everybody has them, but they're hard. That's why you listen to John Mayer breakup songs.
Yeah.
And John Stamos Beach Boy breakup songs.
Yep.
Everybody go surfing. But John's written a couple. Well, Forever. Forever is, you know.
Yep.
And that sounds like a breakup song, kind of.
Yeah.
And that's a Beach Boys song that John did it with him, I believe. I'm not sure of the whole thing, but I know he sang it on the show.
Yes. Jesse and the Rippers.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it was really sweet. Mayer sang a song. But before he sang it, he said, you have been through so much, Bob, and Kelly is your reward for that. So there was a lot of non-dry eyes, except for people that are older that don't have fluid in their eyes.
I might tear up right now.
Right? And then at the end of it, he and said, here's your wedding gift, not in front of everybody, but it was a Martin guitar, and he gives it to us, and then Kelly just starts taking guitar lessons, and now she's like a savant, and she's like amazing at it, and so she plays the guitar all the time, and I was like, that's a Martin, may I have it for a minute?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, but take the capo off. I know how a guitar works, but she's like, she's gotten really, really good, and she has a deal with Fender, because she's an influencer and all that stuff, and she influences me to do whatever she wants. And so it's just it's I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to have to have a lot of love in my life.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And the Full House people.
Yeah. Of course. You have a lot of great friends.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky. Yes. I'm very, very lucky. And they're all ages. I have no
the Fuller House kids, are they all your kids now too?
Well, it's different cuz we're kind of guest stars on the show, you know. And I like the kids. They're really sweet. But, like, I can't invite them to my cool comedy thing because they're a little young and the comedy's a little adult. And so, and it's going to be like 600 people and it's just going to be words they shouldn't, I shouldn't be doing it, you know? The littlest kid, Elias, who's adorable, whenever we curse, he says you got to put,
you know,
money in the tip jar and in the curse jar. And I said, I'll clean it up for you guys. But I said, here's 60 grand. Shut the F up.
Bob, you don't have to clean it up for us.
Oh, you don't?
Let it fly.
I feel bad, though, because it's a different world we're in. You know,
oh,
it's got guys like me. But it really has happened.
We say fuck all over the place.
All right. Is that a command?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to do it everywhere. You got to pick your spots. You don't want to ruin the carpeting.
Yes.
I don't. It's weird because I'm not Dirty Bob and I'm not clean. You know, it's like, and you're talking third person of your own name.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a problem.
That's what happens when you play yourself so many times.
That happens. And but I've got a bunch of new stuff I'm working on too that I'm trying to get done. I was on the phone with Norm Macdonald last night for about an hour. It was insane. We were FaceTiming, and he's one of the funniest people alive, and not regular. Not a regular person.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're Norm Macdonald fans or not. Do you know Norm's work?
Yep.
Well, I directed Dirty Work, so we're talking about a possible sequel, and the options are impossible to figure out how to make one.
Oh, man.
But it's funny. He's funny as hell.
Unfortunately, we have to.
We're getting kicked out.
Unfortunately, we have to wrap up.
Who comes in now?
Our time has ended. They need the
cameras.
They need the cameras. Yeah. They need stuff to
do. And you're about to eat some pizza.
I heard about that.
Yes, you're doing a
pizza. We're going to make a pizza run.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Before we wrap up, can you send us off with just one lesson?
Yes.
One lesson?
Yeah, I think so. I would say, ladies, always have respect for yourself. Because even if you're in the mood at certain points, because you had a light beer, that you want to disrespect yourself, realize the next day when you have your caffeine in the morning that respecting yourself is more important than the beverages you've chosen to drink. And don't ever accept a drink from a guy without seeing the source. You better know the guy. If you're in Vegas, don't ever take a drink from anybody because you won't know nothing. And I always tell all my daughters, I have three daughters that are 32 and 29 and 26. I've always said, kick them in the crotch as hard as you can and run away. And that's, and I think self-respect and following your heart and what you want to do. And it might seem impossible. It sounds like I'm doing some silly thing for some award. You know, you can come out of nothing and you can make it.
Following it.
But
kick
it's
them
the
in
truth.
The crotch or run away.
Yeah, that's one. And the other one was, you know, don't take drinks without a lid. Not a lid, but, you know, the good kind of lid.
See where they came from.
Yes, and also don't trust a lot of people, a lot of dudes. They only want three things, and you have all of them. And maybe four, who knows, but maybe five. But That's not good advice. but with my daughters, it's always, you know, they're artists and they're incredibly talented. And all I wanted is for them to be happy. So that's what I wish for you guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. That was amazing.
That was so Danny Tanner. Yeah. How did I do that?
I love it.
I loved it. That's exactly what we needed.
And Benjamin is out now on Redbox, and you can download it.
You're on tour.
I'm on tour.
Bob Saget.
So buy your tickets to see Bob Saget on tour. Thank you so much
for
talking
to us, Bob. You guys are great. You're my heroes.
We have an awesome interview with Morgan Simoner coming up, getting ready for season 2 of Cheer. But first, guys, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. BetterHelp is great. You know, we talk about our own mental health from time to time. It's something that we try and take care of, something that we hope that we emphasize how important it is to take care of. So this month, we are discussing some of the stigmas around mental health. For example, going to therapy, like, you should go even when you don't feel terrible. Like, it should not be, some people think you have to wait until things are unbearable to go to therapy, but that is not true. Therapy is a tool to utilize before things get worse, and it can help you avoid those lows. Many think therapy is for, you know, quote unquote, crazy people. Also, completely not true. Therapy does not mean something is wrong with you. It just means you recognize that all humans have emotions and we need to learn to control them, not avoid them. We've been taught that mental health shouldn't be a part of normal life. Like, it's got a stigma around it. That is wrong too. We take care of our bodies when we go to the gym.
when we go to the doctor, when we, you know, worry about what we're eating. All of those things matter just as much as taking care of your mental health. So BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/office. That's BETTERHELP.com/office.
All right, everyone. We are here with a very special guest. We are joined by Morgan Siminer from Netflix's Cheer. Season 2 is out now, and we are so excited to have you on the show, Morgan.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
How are you feeling right now? What's been the lead, like the build up to this second season? Because, you know, COVID and all these things, like it's been a long time since the first season came out. So how are you feeling now?
It's crazy, like literally insane. The first season obviously was aired in 2020.
Yep.
And, you know, since then, it's taken a few years to get the next season out. So, you know, I haven't cheered for 2 years, but I was a part of the 2020 season, technically, year-wise. So I have been out of cheer for a while, but, you know, still in the new season. So I'm excited to see what I said and what I did. So I'm very excited to watch the new season and, you know, just all the emotions of, you know, everything.
Yeah, obviously so much changed from when you guys filmed the first season. You know, Navarro came into all of our lives in which we mm-hmm. didn't know about before, or if you're in the cheer world, you knew about. And then it just blew up. I mean, everyone was obsessed with it. You guys had Kendall Jenner posing in the uniforms and everything. But I imagine that after everything blew up, Monica had to like make sure that it didn't get to all your heads. Would you say that is correct?
I wouldn't necessarily say get to our heads, but we were very overwhelmed because we did not expect the show to blow up the way it did. We knew it was going to be somewhat big in the cheerleading world, but it reached such a huge audience that we were not expecting it to whatsoever. So for it to blow up and be so unexpected, we didn't really know what we were getting into. So, you know, all the interviews and like meeting our favorite celebrities and being on Ellen and like all these crazy opportunities, we were just like in shock. So it was just absolutely crazy. And like, we're all trying to figure it out together and just go with the flow. So it was like so many different emotions, but we were all just, you know, super excited for the opportunities and that we were able to share them with our teammates and our friends.
How, and of course it was instant, like, everybody was binging it and it happened so fast, and all of social media blew up as well. You know, you have over 1 million Instagram followers, like you have so many of the rest of the cast like blew up on social media. How were you, like, how did you manage that? Because it's a lot from like, you know, having your Instagram, you post your normal pictures, do your thing, and now all of a sudden you have 1 million people seeing your posts.
Yeah, it was very different, I will say, because, you know, I would go from posting, you know, once like every 5 months to posting like as much as I can to like, you know, keep up with like what my followers wanted and like my fans and like things that I was doing. And like, I wanted to post about all the amazing opportunities that I got to do, but it, like, trying to find the right balance of it was hard, especially when I was still cheering and doing school and just like, everything piling on top of each other. So it was like very overwhelming to try and deal with, but I feel like everyone handled it very well. And yeah, it's still crazy for me to even think that I have over 1 million followers on social media.
Did you
like,
find
that's
it,
literally
crazy. It is crazy.
Did you find it hard to like put your phone down and focus on other things after this all comes out, right? Because after all the attention you're getting on social media, I mean, I know we find it impossible mm-hmm. to put our phone down sometimes, just everybody does at this point in life. But you remember, you also got to cheer. You got to go to practice. You guys have to focus on that. So how did you separate the two?
So for me, I was a little bit different. I wouldn't go on my phone because when I did, I'd get, you know, freaked out, or I'd see like a negative comment and like, you know, it upset me or whatever. So I honestly, even still now, I don't really go on social media that much, which I think is a good thing. Sometimes I do feel like I'm missing out, but for me, I just, you know, was so focused on being in the moment and you know, enjoying opportunities and, you know, creating new memories. So I was just so focused on what was going on right then and there instead of what was going on in the social media world.
Yeah, that's a very smart way to look at it. Obviously, it could be overwhelming. Like you said, negative comments. It's just a bunch of people who they're obviously so obsessed with the show and it's all they can focus on. But you don't need that in your life at all. You can just focus on the fact that you're, well, now you're not cheering, right?
Correct.
So
yes, I'm not cheering anymore.
Where did that decision come from?
So basically it was when COVID hit. So I was still cheering on the team and then COVID happened. And, you know, I had the opportunity to go back to Navarro because I had another year of eligibility, but I had already graduated from Navarro. I was doing classes at Texas A&M as well so that I could, you know, still be a part of Navarro for that coming year. So I just got to the point where I was like, you know, I don't really know what other classes to take. I don't really know which other major I should open up next because, you know, I had already graduated. So just thinking of like the bigger picture of like, what do I want to do with my life? And I also had, you know, all the memories from Navarro, the titles, like I exceeded my expectations from when I first walked in the door there. So I, you know, was very content and very happy with everything that had happened and, you know, feel like I fulfilled what my job was coming into Navarro. So I, you know, left on a positive note and I was like, I'll still have all the memories. I'll still have, you know, the titles and all the amazing opportunities. So I'm just going to take that and carry it with me into what I do next.
Yeah. The show not only blew up your life, but kind of those closest to you, you know, your family members, your grandparents, we got to see your story. How has it been for them watching this happen for you?
I mean, they're probably going to be watching this too. So yeah. Hi. But for them, it's crazy. I mean, they didn't really have social media before everything. And now they have TikTok and Snapchat and everything so that they can keep up with what I'm doing. So they've been like, you know, very supportive. Obviously, they were very confused by what was going on, like what followers were and like how to post on Instagram and, you know, all the ins and outs of it. But for them, I feel like it's been very crazy for them. Just, you know, they'll be scrolling and I'll come up on their For You page or something and they're just like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's just literally just crazy.
Yeah.
Like absolutely crazy.
And you're living on your own, right, in Dallas in your own apartment?
Yes. So I am currently in Dallas, Texas. And I live with my cat, technically, but...
That's a roommate.
That is a roommate.
You know, it's a roommate.
How's that been? Do you like living alone?
Yes and no. I mean, I, you know, was around everyone at Navarro and like we had like apartments together, dorms and all of that. So going from, you know, all the roommates and that sort of a thing to being on my own, I was like, okay, yeah, now we're talking. Like, I love this. Like, this is amazing. You know, if it's messy, it's my fault, you know, type of a thing. And like, I don't mind being on my own. I'm very comfortable with that, but also too, like, I have so many friends and like my boyfriend lives right down the street from me. So, you know, we're hanging out 24/7. I'm hanging out with all my friends, going to visit my family. So I'm not necessarily alone all the time.
Yeah.
So it's a little different, but I don't mind it.
That's nice. How have you, so now, you know, like you said, you've been separated from it for some time now. How do you stay connected with the Navarro gang? Like, you guys talk all the time? Are anybody nearby to you?
So I do still stay in contact with a lot of people from Navarro and even people that I was on a team prior with and alumni and all of that. It's just such a close-knit family that regardless of where you are in the world, like there's going to be someone who's connected to Navarro some way, shape or form. So, you know, I'm also 45 minutes down the road, so I can go down to practices and watch whenever and, you know, still FaceTime and do all of that. So I still feel pretty connected with the team from 2021 and this new coming team for 2022. So, you know, I love all of them and Navarro is just a huge family.
Yeah. And you said that you obviously now are focusing on what you want to do with your future. Do you want to stay in the cheerleading world or do you want to do something totally different? Like maybe coaching or?
Honestly, I've never really seen myself as like a coach. I mean, I don't have as much experience as like so many other people out there. So I feel like there is still a lot for me to learn in order to be a coach. Because I only know like, you know, the athlete part of it. But I don't really know like where I like see myself in the future. I'm literally just here, just living my best life, just seeing where life takes me. So going with the flow, you know, I am down for any opportunities all the time. I'm just really excited to see where the what the future has in store for me.
That's awesome. And we have loved watching everybody's relationship with Monica on the show. I think that is really like what made that first season so special as well. How has she like kind of changed your life?
I mean, that woman is incredible. Yeah. Let me just start with that.
Yeah.
I love her so much. Like, she literally is that mother figure for us. And for me, like, I didn't know I needed it until I had it.
Right.
And so it's just very special to be able to have someone in your life that you can depend on and that you can trust and be able to talk to, vent to, you know, just joke around with. Like, she literally can check every single box. So it's just really great to be able to have a relationship that's like that. And also for me, like, I do look up to her as like a role model, and, you know, she just always has the right things to say, like, regardless of what it is, like, she gives the best advice. And I'm just very thankful that other people too get to see that side of our relationship, because it is so special.
Yeah, watching the first season, I was like, damn, I want Monica to whip my ass into shape. Yeah. Like, I feel like I need a Monica right, in my right. life.
And she would, it would happen, but it would still, like, be kind of in a nice-ish yeah. way.
Like, it's like, she's going to yell at you, but you're also going to have a good time after.
Yeah, yeah. I yes. know. And we're excited because, you know, this season we're getting a couple more episodes. You know, we only got, it was, first season was 6 episodes. This season is 9 episodes. We kind of have to follow along the timeline, right? You're reading about it. You know that you guys immediately kind of went back into that filming, you know, January 2020. What did you personally do during that time in between? Because, of course, filming, you guys weren't able to continue, and just sports in general were canceled across the board due to COVID, and you guys didn't pick it back up till September of that year. So how was that time for you?
For me, I went back home to Wyoming so I could spend time with my grandparents, because everyone at Navarro had left and gone home. So yeah. I was like, well, I'm not going to stay here by myself.
Yeah.
So I went back home, and for me, like, I really got to, you know, take a second, because I didn't before. I was just go, go, go with everything, that I was so overwhelmed, and, you know, just took time to myself and took time to actually process the show, because as soon as it came out, it was like interview the next morning. So I didn't really get to fully process what had happened. And, like, obviously I shared my life story on there, and it was like a little intimidating at first, because I was like, I don't know what people are going to take from it. Yeah. And, like, you know, didn't really keep up with, you know, what was happening and what people were saying about it. It was, you know, just go, go, go. So really just took time to, like, process the show, you know, spend quality time with my grandparents, and, like, just take a step away from it for a second. So for me, it was actually good, and I really needed it, because I was, like, mentally struggling. But I'm glad that I was able to go home and be with my grandparents during the quarantine.
What was the protocol like when you guys went back to it? Because I'm assuming things had changed, obviously, a little bit in the ways you practiced and competed.
Right.
Yes. So I didn't go back after COVID. Mm-hmm. So I'm not 100% sure, like, what the team went through. I know that COVID testing was a part of it, but I'm not sure what the extent was, like, how often or what needed to be done in order to film. But I know that, you know, everyone was very cautious of the situation and took it very seriously, so that, you know, we could be able to produce a show and put it out there for everybody, but also to keep everyone safe and, you know, just get back to doing what we normally do. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I also love that from the what we've seen, we get it looks like a lot more in-depth look into who you guys are competing against, right? You're seeing Trinity Valley, you're seeing their coach,
love,
and their
this aspect.
And their and their cheerleaders and what's going on there. What's it like really kind of having, is that rivalry as, I guess, serious is the word, I
deep
guess,
as,
like,
it's,
yeah,
portrayed.
As it feels watching?
So I would say, I mean, I am close with some people that go to TVCC or have previously cheered there. So it seems like a huge rivalry, which in a sense it is, but it mostly comes down to when you step foot on that mat to compete.
Right.
So you can be, you know, friends, laughing, you know, visiting each other, going and getting lunch or whatever. But then as soon as you step on that mat in Daytona, you're like, hang on, like, I got a job to do, like, da 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 da, do your thing, and then, you know, go back to it afterwards. But, you know, we are, you know, very close competitors, and that it goes both ways, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We are, like, hard on each other, you know, and have the rivalry, but also we are close at the same time. So it gets a little complicated, but, you know, they are amazing athletes and their program and everything. So, you know, credit to them for what they do. And it's there, but we love them.
We love a good cheerleading rivalry.
Fight for our team at the same time.
Yeah. Well, is it like, obviously, you're not going to be mean to the other people on the team. The rivalry's there. But the same day as competition, you're not grabbing lunch with those people.
Yes, exactly. It's like you've got a job to do and you're like, okay. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Right. It kind of like, it feeds into, which, you know, is the extent of my, you know, really cheer Netflix. Like, Netflix, this show taught me a lot about competitive cheerleading. And I feel like the extent of my knowledge was watching, like, the teen movies where there is always a classic cheer rival.
I did cheerleading, not to that extent, but yeah, you have rivals.
No, I know. Which is, it's
serious.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the show, you just learn so much more. When you're going, it's competition day, it's Daytona day. What are you doing to get yourself ready? How are you pumping yourself up? Because that's such a major part of this. Like, I wonder, like, how has your just... this is actually a separate question, so I'll ask that first and then this. How did you, like, athletically prepare for those days?
Well, yeah, you honestly just prayed. It was, you know, me having full mental breakdowns while I have makeup on, trying to reapply it so I don't look psycho.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's rushing around trying to get their hair done. You have, like, the nerves, like, you know, you work that whole entire year for that one moment, so you're like, this is it. Like, this is literally it. Like, this is what this whole year has been about, is this, you know, routine that we're about to do. So it's like a lot of, like, pressure, stress, like, you know, everyone's freaking out, you're trying to keep yourself cool, but you see someone else freaking out, so you're freaking out. And so it's just, like, all over the place, like, everyone's emotions. There's some people that, you know, will just sit there and just be calm and collected. There's other ones that have to pace. There's some people that are just like, let's go. And then there's me, and I'm just like, okay, we got this. Like, it's gonna be all right. Like, we can do it. We trust each other. We can do it. So it's all over the place, but it's also just really exciting because, you know, it's what you've been looking forward to, and it's, like, actually there. So
the feeling after must be the greatest relief in the world.
Yes. if you hit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, I wasn't necessarily a mistake on the first season, but my stunt was very shaky, and it seemed a lot more shaky when I was in the air versus when you watch it on video. So watching that back, I was, like, you know, very thrown off by it. And I was like, I wonder what it's going to look like, you know, all that. So, you know, there's just, like, so many emotions, but then, like, once you step off the floor and, like, you, like, technically hit a zero, it's just, like craziness. Like, you just can't even, like, process it. And you're like, did we actually hit, or did, like, what just happened? Like, you, like, blank out, like, you literally go into autopilot, mm-hmm. and you just, like, are done, and you're like, can someone fill me in? Like, yeah. I'm confused.
And you didn't watch this season yet, so you will be watching it with everybody else.
Yep, I'll be watching it with the rest of the world.
What, this was the second part of what I wanted to ask you before. Like, it's such a grueling sport, and you put your body through so much, and we saw that in the first season with injuries and just, like, being in the gym and working out and all of these things. How has that transition been for you, like, now not cheering anymore and kind of, like, I feel like that's such a interesting part for college athletes where it is, like, very consuming to kind of have to transition out of it.
Yes. So when I stopped cheering, my body loved me. Yeah. You know, I got to, you know, not be sore every single day, yeah. or, you know, have bruises from being caught or whatever. So, you know, my body was like, oh yeah, now we're talking. And then quarantine happened. So I'm sitting on the couch for, like, months at a time, like, okay, well, I'm used to being like, go, 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 like, practicing 4 hours a day, every single day. So I was like, I feel like I need to be doing something. But, you know, taking that break was very good for me. And I do miss cheer, though. I do miss cheering.
I was going to ask, now that, you know, time has passed.
Being a part of all of that, it's kind of hard, but, you know, I loved every moment of it while I was still a cheerleader.
Yeah. So It's a Sunday night. You're in your apartment. What are you doing? What does your night look like? Like, what are you putting on TV? What are you watching?
Specifically a Sunday night.
Yeah, I just feel like Sunday night is the go-to relax night.
Yeah. What about the going out nights, like Friday and Saturday?
Friday and Saturday. Honestly, I value sleep a lot. I literally can sleep from until like 4 p.m. So most of the time, if I'm not with my boyfriend or, you know, hanging out with friends, I 99.9% of the time I'm sleeping. So
that kind of sounds like you, Rhea.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's basically me.
Yeah. I value my sleep. If I don't have 12 hours, it's not gonna go well.
You and your boyfriend are really cute. I see you guys all over Instagram. Do you, like I said, this ties back to the you know, over a million followers. Do you ever feel like any pressures on what you should and shouldn't be sharing about that part of your life?
I mean, sometimes it, you know, depends on like situations. Like, I feel like I have been very open with the whole entire world, you know, sharing like parts of my life story and, you know, just putting it all out there for everyone. So I'm like, people nowadays feel like they do know everything about me, which isn't necessarily true. They saw, you know, parts of my life story, not, you know, other things. So it is like hard to like balance, you know, what of your personal life do you want to keep to yourself, that you don't put out there for people. So I mean, Stone, obviously, for example, like, love him, he's so cute and whatever, wishy gishy.
He has such a cute boy name. Stone is such a cute boy.
That's such a cool fucking name.
So fun to be around.
Yeah,
it is. At first, when he said it, I was like, Stone, like the Rock.
Yeah,
like what?
Yeah.
But yeah, so he, you know, is very, you know, supportive of everything that I do. So it's nice to be able to, you know, bring him into it and like give him glimpses of, you know, what it's like, you know, behind the scenes of, you know, doing an Instagram ad or like this or that. So he's been like very supportive of everything that I've been doing. So it's nice to be able to, you know, share my relationship and someone I care so much about with the world.
Yeah. And you've gotten so many really cool opportunities, of course, since the show, but you did hair products, right? CVS with Conair and Scrunchy, which is
and you
so
have
cool.
amazing hair.
I feel like that's every girl's dream. Yeah, exactly.
I've thought about it throughout this entire interview.
But it's
like,
why,
she has amazing hair.
What hair company would not be like, we should get more hair?
Absolutely.
How has that been? What was that experience like working with those major companies?
Yes, so I had a hair care collaboration with Conair and Scrunchy that was put out in CVS. You know, that was such an amazing opportunity. It was a huge brand deal for me. I was super excited about it. You know, I was a part of the design process and everything. So, you know, being behind the scenes of something is so cool. Like, you don't know how much work goes into making just one thing and, you know, all the steps you need to get there in production. And like, there's just so much that goes on with it that, you know, it puts you, you know, to look at a different perspective of like anyone who puts out anything or, you know, works with another company. Like, there's so much that goes into it that people don't realize, and it's just so crazy to be able to be a part of that. And then also just like walking into CVS and seeing like my face on a board, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And like my name put on products, I'm like, is this really my life? Like, there's no way. Like, there's no way that is true. Like, absolutely crazy. So crazy.
It's all so cool.
It is.
What is coming up in the future for you that you are most excited about?
I honestly don't even know. I literally take it day by day. I don't even remember what I had for breakfast. Yeah. So that
right,
tells
like
you how much.
Season two is number one priority right now.
Yeah. I'm like, I just want to see it so bad. But you know, I don't really know exactly what the future does hold for me. I'm excited to see though, you know, I've been working on, you know, building my brand up more and like my business and, you know, spending time with family and friends. So, you know, I'm happy with where I'm at now. So, you know, I'm just going to keep going, keep living life and just see where it takes me.
That's great. Besides your own storyline, of course, out of your friends on this season, whose storyline are you kind of most excited to watch come to life on season two?
There's a couple of people, honestly. Maddie Brum, Cassidy, Jill, like there's, I mean, everyone, like every single person has a story and, you know, some people don't, you know, some people's aren't portrayed on the show, but every single person that comes to Navarro has a story and every single person in the world has a story. So I just think it is crazy that, you know, people get to express that and be able to put that out for the world and be able to inspire and help others. So I'm very excited to see, you know, everyone else's stories. And, you know, obviously Greg does an amazing job with all of that. So I'm excited to see like how it is on that side of like the production part of it. But yeah, I'm really excited. You know, I love all of the people that are going to be in season two so much. And I'm ready. I'm like counting down the minutes. I'm ready for it. I'm like, let's
all right. I think we're ready too.
And we definitely are ready for it.
I will say what I love most about this show is that everyone has their own unique story and everyone is so interesting in their own ways. And in a cheesy but amazing way, cheer brings everybody together. And it's just like, it's so heartwarming, but also there's things that make you cry, things that make you happy. It's such an amazing show, and I'm so excited for season two, and I think everyone else listening is as well.
Yeah, so Morgan, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody can go to Netflix and stream season two of Cheer. Enjoy it, love it, watch it multiple times. Go back and watch season one to remind yourself of everything that happened, and you can follow. Where can everyone follow you, Morgan?
My Instagram is Morgan N. Lynn, L-Y-N. All my other social medias, I'd have to think about it. It's probably Morgan Simoner, Morgan Lynn 97, something along the sort. Probably, you know, if you find one of them, you could probably find some other ones.
So true.
But yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes, thank you so joining us. And we're so excited to watch and see what's going on with you.
Perfect. I love it.
Thanks, Morgan.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much.
I hope you guys
have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. So nice to meet you.
You too.
Bye.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. Make sure you're subscribing everywhere you listen to podcasts, including YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Don't forget it. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you on Monday.